Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Mid-Atlantic Championship Podcast, the podcast that travels back into time to review classic episodes of Jim Crockett Promotions Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling as they appear on the WWE Network. I am Mike Sempervivi, joined as always by my co-host Roman Gomez, and this is episode number 18. In this edition, we will be taking a look at the Mid-Atlantic television program taped on Wednesday, May 12, 1982, at the WPCQ Studios, Channel 36 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and aired in local markets beginning the weekend of Saturday, May 15, 1982. And as we mentioned on last episode, the May 5th broadcast of the Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling program is not available on the WWE Network. And as a result, we are skipping ahead, but never you fear, we will be filling you in on everything that took place in the meantime, and boy, there was a lot of it. But before we begin, if you like the podcast and want a little bit more of it on social media, just search at Mid-Atlantic Pod. We update everything when we can, with most of the focus on our Twitter and Facebook pages. As I said, just search at Mid-Atlantic Pod and look for the logo. And if you want to follow along with us as we review these championship wrestling shows, you can do so by signing up for the WWE Network at WWENetwork.com. You can also follow along by way of David Taub's write-ups of the shows, which are available over at MidAtlanticGateway.com. And finally, if you'd like to take an alternate look at this week in wrestling history, head on over to MidSouthPod.com, the Mid-South Wrestling Review Show with Brian Last and Mike Mills, who cover today in Bill Watts' territory on episode 22 of their program. Now, I'm going to start the show solo, as I'm going to do a little house cleaning that will lead us into the Mid-Atlantic episode that aired on March 15th, 1982. 3 weeks prior, news had traveled up from Atlanta that Mid-Atlantic champion Roddy Piper, who was playing a large role down south as well, had whipped Tommy Rich with a belt. Rich had been featured many times in the Mid-Atlantic territory already during 1982, and they were going to use that feud to dovetail into the feud that Piper had simmering with Jack Briscoe. During a match between Piper and Bob Armstrong at a house show in Georgia, Piper threw Armstrong into the referee. With the two down, Piper took off the referee's belt and began whipping Armstrong. Not surprisingly, Piper loved his new instrument of malice and would continue to use it. On the April 17th edition of Georgia Championship Wrestling, after a match between Tommy Rich and Buzz Sawyer, Piper jumped Rich and began whipping him with said belt. This was the event that had been promised to us, the Mid-Atlantic viewer, first for the May 1st episode, and then amended to May 8th. But, of course, we couldn't see it because it's not on the WWE Network. But thankfully, there are many YouTube angels out there. Chris Zellner is one of them. And because of that, we can make sure that you hear, at the very least, the after effects of the whipping and Wildfire's impassioned promo.
At the hands of one, and you can see the welts on his back. He has been severely lashed by Roddy Piper. And Tommy Wildfire Rich, as you can see.
Roddy Piper! Brother, I want to tell you something. Look at my back, Jordan. Look at it. Piper, the only person that ever whipped me like that was my mama. Leave me alone. Piper, I'm telling you, brother, and you take it for whatever the hell it's worth. You see this back. You look. Get a good look, Piper. You get a good look, because I'm making you a promise. I'm going to get you back. Come hell or high water, brother.
There you heard Tommy Rich talking to Gordon Solie. That was to set up the next night at the Omni on April 18th, where the good guy team of Rich, Armstrong, and Dick Slater defeated Roddy Piper, the Great Kabuki, and Gary Hart in a six-man tag match. Also on that show in the main event, Dusty Rhodes made an appearance defeating Ole Anderson in a Minnesota Loggers match. Of course, as we all know, the feud between Ole and Dusty can never be over, and things would only get more out of control. The next week, on April 24th, as a match took place in the ring, Rich was on commentary when he was attacked by Piper, Anderson, and Buzz Sawyer, the latter acting as Ole's de facto partner when Stan Hansen wasn't available. That incident would bring out two men to make the save, as well as serve as Ole and Piper's next Omni opponents for May 2nd. That was Dusty Rhodes and George the Animal Steele. On that night, the main event would go to a no contest. Meanwhile, on the undercard, Sawyer would defeat Rich and lay claim to the NWA National title. Now, fast forward 3 days from that Omni show to Wednesday, May 5th, 1982, and the tapings at the WPCQ studios to be aired beginning May 8th. And not only were we supposed to finally see that tape from WTBS, but we were also teased about Jack Briscoe facing off against Roddy Piper. I'm not sure if that bout occurred. Looking at the results of that day via the Clawmaster Jim Zordani's archives, the match is listed with no result. Also listed for that day was Killer Khan and Angelo Mosca defeating Ron Ritchie and Don Gilbert, Ivan Koloff defeating Keith Larson, Don Morocco and Wahoo McDaniel defeating Jim Dalton and Steve Seibert, Jake Roberts defeating Ben Alexander, and Jack Briscoe defeating Deke Rivers. Now, what does that mean? Who knows? Are the bulk of those results from Worldwide? I tend to believe so. Did Piper use Rivers as a sub? Maybe. Are those matches blended across both shows? Possibly. I just don't know for sure, and if anyone out there can shine some light on this particular week in history, drop us a line either at midatlanticpod@gmail.com or on Twitter or Facebook. We'd definitely appreciate it. We'll use those tapings to take us into the results of the week that we usually do at the end of the show, but without that episode, we couldn't. And these results would serve to be crucial as we head into today's episode of the program. The day after the tapings in Norfolk on Thursday, May 6, NWA World Champion Ric Flair went to a no contest with Wahoo McDaniel. The day after that, on Friday, May 7th, in Midlothian, Virginia, at Clover Hill High School, Ric Flair faced off against Angelo Mosca, no result listed. On Saturday, May 8th, in Welcome, North Carolina, at North Davidson High School, Roddy Piper and Angelo Mosca faced off against Jack Briscoe and Wahoo McDaniel. While at West Jefferson, North Carolina High School, at Ash Central High School, they also had a wrestling card, although no results were listed. That led us to Sunday, May 9th, Charlotte Coliseum, Charlotte, North Carolina, the finals of the NWA World Tag Team Championship Tournament, Eastern Division. Stan Hansen, Ole Anderson defeated the Samoans, and Jack and Jerry Briscoe defeated Killer Khan and Angelo Mosca by disqualification. Also on the card, Don Morocco defeated Sergeant Slaughter, and Tommy Rich defeated Roddy Piper by disqualification before we got to the finals, where we saw Stan Hansen and Ole Anderson defeat Jack and Jerry Briscoe to win the tournament and the rights to go on to face Wahoo McDaniel and Don Morocco for the NWA World Tag Team Championship. Also on Sunday in Kingsport, Tennessee, the Ninja and Ivan Koloff defeated Jimmy Valiant and Johnny Weaver, while Paul Jones defeated Gene Anderson. That brings us to Monday night in Greenville, South Carolina at the Memorial Auditorium. Certainly some big names on the show. Don Morocco defeated Ole Anderson. Jake Roberts defeated Sergeant Slaughter, but unfortunately was not able to win the United States Heavyweight Championship. But then we got our main event. And I will pick up and read from the wonderful book, The Mid-Atlantic Championship, penned by Dick Bourne from the Mid-Atlantic Gateway. And I will turn to page 120. Quote, "Once the Briscoes were out of the tournament, Jack's focus shifted to Roddy Piper, who had whipped his friend Tommy Rich with a belt and an angle on the nationally televised Georgia Championship Wrestling Show. Briscoe came to the defense of Rich and wound up challenging Piper for a shot at his belt. Roddy Piper had enjoyed a 5-month reign as champion, but it all came to an end, at least for a while, when Jack Briscoe defeated the Rowdy Scott on May 10, 1982, in Greenville, South Carolina. Piper, however, absconded with the title belt that night, but it was Briscoe whose hand was raised and declared the new champion. Also on that Monday night, there was wrestling at the Cheraw, South Carolina High School. The next night, on Tuesday, May 11th, there was no wrestling in Raleigh, North Carolina, but there was wrestling in Rocky Mount, North Carolina at the Municipal Stadium, where Paul Jones defeated Roddy Piper and Gene Anderson knocked off Porkchop Cash. Also on the 11th, in Columbia, South Carolina, at the Township Auditorium, Jack Briscoe and Jimmy Valiant battled Ivan Koloff and the Ninja to a double disqualification. So a pretty eventful week as we lead into the tapings at the Channel 36 studios. I'll bring in my co-host Roman Gomez now as we finally enter the weekend of May 15th, 1982. Introducing the show, we have Bob Cottle joined by David Crockett and Sandy Scott to set the table for what is going to be quite the day. It's there that Scott makes the announcement that Jack Briscoe has dethroned Roddy Piper and that he has recovered the belt that Piper has stormed out of the ring with. He brings out the new champion, and from there, things get heated.
Team tournament. Fantastic. The winners in the East are Stan Hansen and Ole Anderson. Now they're going to go against Don Morocco and Wahoo McDaniels. It'll be the best 4 out of 7. The cities have not been selected yet for that. And to tell us a little bit more about what else is going on, Sandy Scott is here from the NWA. Sandy?
All right, Sandy, sounds great. Boy, we're down to the home stretch in that tag team championship. Also, the NWA Rules Board has set down a new ruling today, which we're going to get into a little later on in the program. I think the wrestling fan out there is going to be very happy about it.
I know they're going to be happy about that.
Yes. And also, Greenville, South Carolina, great people, great wrestling fans. They saw a match the other night with Jack Briscoe and Rodney Piper for the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship belt. We have a new champion. He's here. I'd like to call him in.
All right, Jack Briscoe.
Thank you very much, Sandy.
Congratulations to you,
Jack. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it very much. You know, when I first came into this area, I told the folks of the Mid-Atlantic area that I come here for competition and I come here to win belts. And the Mid-Atlantic Championship belt was the most prestigious belt here, and this is the one I went after. And I was fortunate enough to defeat Roddy Piper for it. And I'm proud to be the Mid-Atlantic
champion. Let me just tell you something. I'll tell you, I come here like a man. No, I'll tell you. No, none of that stuff. I'll tell you, this is for you, Mr. Briscoe, because I'll tell you something, mister. You're nothing but a trash can Indian and a garbage can. Don't you get me? You're nothing but a trash can Indian and a garbage can champion, mister. You think that you could beat me? You think that you could do anything for me?
I know I can beat you.
You cheap shot at your way through that. You're garbage. You're nothing but an idiot, mister.
A man gave me this, a fan gave me this, and I was going to give it to him to insult him, but it's below my dignity. But since you're acting the way you are, sucker, that's what you deserve.
All right. Hey, here, Tim Horner. Now, Tim was there. Tim, you saw this match.
If anybody ever needed their can kicked, it was you. And I'm one man. I'm glad it happened.
Sucker, right? If anybody ever needed my can kick, it's me. Well, I'll tell you something.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, you want a can kick?
Come on now. Get some down.
You want some can kick? I'll tell you what. You come in. I don't give a damn who comes in. Come on. I don't care. Hear you. Horner, come on.
Well, David, he's gone wild up there in the ring. Roddy Piper, Tim Horner, Ivan Koloff. All of them are, both of them are all over Tim. Koloff's got him from behind. Piper now is going to throw him through the ropes and out of the ring. Here comes Jack Briscoe in. Oh! Just simply a wild melee in the ring. Nobody can get Piper out. Both of them are Briscoe. Here goes David into the ring. He's trying. He gets the hand down. Tom Morocco is in. We're going to get some order in that ring. We'll be right back.
Certainly a hot way to begin this week's show. A lot taking place. We have the introduction of Jack Briscoe to all of the Mid-Atlantic viewers as their new champion. You have a very irate Roddy Piper coming out with a trash can, as you heard that being banged around there as he screamed that Jack Briscoe was a trash can Indian. We have new rules from Sandy Scott that are going to be put into place. We did not hear those there as everything kind of went sideways. We have Piper going after Tim Horner. We have David Crockett trying to break things up. He gets knocked over. Just a whole bunch of wildness taking place. And not the least of which was, I wonder what happened to that huge lollipop that Jack Briscoe had, that massive sucker, as you heard him talk about Roddy Piper, gave him that, which led to the fight between Piper and Tim Horner as Briscoe walked away. But Roman, certainly a live way to begin a very newsworthy show.
Holy cow, what action for the first 5 minutes or whatever to start this show. And let's not forget at the beginning, with Crockett talking about the tag team tournament being a best of seven. You know, before Magnum and Nikita had their famous best of seven, you know, there was tournament was for a best of seven. And, you know, obviously if it goes to a seventh match, there's going to be all kinds of excitement. You know, the two best words in sports are game seven. So I thought that was kind of exciting news at the beginning. And then something else with Briscoe winning the Mid-Atlantic title, this shows the difference in eras from modern wrestling compared to back then. They didn't show any footage of the title change. It made you feel as a fan that if the title was on the line, you needed to be there because, like the old adage says, on any given day, anything can happen. So the fans that didn't go to the arena that were on the fence of going are now going to be kicking themselves because they missed out on seeing Briscoe win the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship. And something I thought was kind of cool was when Piper threw his shirt off, how it wrapped perfectly around Sandy Scott's neck. If you go back and watch that, I don't think Mr. Perfect ever did anything like that. It was incredible how he did that. But Horner being in the background, you knew something was going to happen. And to see Piper and Ivan, two of my favorites, working together, kicking the stuffing out of Horner. And then of all people, David Crockett comes in to play Peacemaker. I thought that was kind of comical.
You know, he doesn't have a very good history of that, does he? You know, you talk about the best of seven that took place between Nikita and Magnum. Before that, of course, we had the situation where Nikita was getting set up to face Ric Flair at Great American Bash 85, which featured David Crockett going ass over tea kettle via sickle during an interview segment. So David Crockett,
wonderful moment,
trained professional wrestler. The former David Finley doesn't mind going out there and getting involved when he has to. And it's also, of course, obviously very therapeutic for all of us who, of course, get to see David Crockett get punched and knocked on his ass. So sorry, David. A wild way to begin the show. And hey, Sandy Scott had an announcement of a new rule that we need to institute.
Jack Briscoe. Jack, the guy just went wild.
Kind of man, Roddy Piper. Of course he went wild.
Before you start, Jack.
I'll tell you what.
All right, then wait a minute. This is the appropriate time. Sandy, when we told about Sandy, get in here.
Okay, Sandy.
This is enough.
Sandy, what about it?
Well, the NWA has set down a ruling for a 30-day period, and they've chosen this area for it. It's a test period. The ruling is that there will be no more disqualification in matches. In other words, there must be a winner or a loser in a match. If a match goes to an hour, 20 minutes, or 30-minute time limit, the wrestlers will have a two-minute rest, and then they will continue until there is a winner
no
or a loser.
No disqualifications.
No disqualifications.
Well, that's what exactly.
And as
what
I say,
want.
It's a 30-day test.
No count out.
That's exactly what I want, because you see what kind of man Roddy Piper and Ivan Koloff are. They'll jump anybody. They'll deck anybody. Well, I'll tell you what. No disqualification rules from now on. No rule books. They got to go to their winner. Roddy Piper, you think you tore my shirt up? I got your belt. That's going to be your head.
All right, Don Morocco. Don, you got mixed up in that,
too. I knew it was going to get crazy. I knew it was going to get nuts. I knew it was going to start. I hear Koloff always stupid Americans, stupid this. Well, I never won any prizes for brains. But I sure as hell am an American. And Koloff, you want to jump on anybody's back, I'll be right there, baby.
Wild time here, fans. We got action in the ring. Let's go up to the ring right now.
And go up to the ring they would, where we would have Ron Ritchie against Jim Dalton. Not surprisingly, this would serve as our cool-down mode and a chance to talk about Roddy Piper and Jack Briscoe and the new rules that have been put into place. No DQ, no time limit, must be a winner, Roman. An interesting rule coming out, being stated, especially because we're coming off of a Private Canoodle and Tim Horner, and boy, I would have loved to have seen definitive end to that feud. I would love to have seen that feud continue, but I'm going to keep lamenting about that till God knows when. But no DQ, no time limit, must be a winner. Obviously, as we look back in history, a angle alert. Our spidey senses should be tingling. But what'd you think about this rule being put into place by Sandy Scott?
Well, I thought for short-term, fans in that area would have liked it. Jack Briscoe had already just won the Mid-Atlantic Championship. So you got to be thinking, if you're somebody at that time that hated somebody that was a champion, say like Sergeant Slaughter, the United States heavyweight champion, You got to be thinking, if I go to the arena, Slaughter can't get disqualified. He can't get counted out. There's got to be a definitive winner. We might see him lose the belt. But long-term, obviously, it was not going to work. There's just way too many angles you can do with disqualifications and whatnot. Then, of course, you can set up rematches that have a no DQ clause, or you can set up a cage match because outside interference or whatever. But short term, I could see how it might have piqued fans' interest, but it was not going to work long term.
It'll be interesting to see how they play this one. The last time they had a rule introduced into effect, it ended up hurting Wahoo McDaniel. It hurt the good guy and ended up damaging him. He ended up losing the United States title because he couldn't defend it after he was attacked by Abdullah the Butcher at the behest of Rowdy Roddy Piper. So we'll see if this rule somehow will turn around and help Roddy Piper again. It'll also be interesting to see if this plays any havoc with Ivan Koloff, whose NWA World Television Championship is usually on the line for the first 10, 15, 20 minutes of a match. We'll have to see if it affects him going forward as well here too. Oh yeah, as far as the match went, Ron Ritchie won with a power slam out of nowhere in about 5 minutes and 50 seconds. Again, really, this was a match basically to be played in the background as they move some things forward. But anything stand out to you about Mr. Ritchie, Mr. Dalton?
No, I think it was just the perfect length of time so they could recap what just previously happened. Wasn't too long, wasn't too short. They were able to get their points across about the previous stuff that had happened with the rule change, the tag titles, et cetera, et cetera. So that match served its purpose.
It was then time for our United States heavyweight champion, Sergeant Slaughter, to step into the scene, and he had some words to say about Wahoo McDaniel.
And here at ringside right now, the U.S. champ, Sergeant Slaughter.
Right. I'm a little upset that Sandy Scott presenting belts are on here. You don't have to present Sergeant Slaughter belt because I still have the U.S. Heavyweight Championship, Wahoo McDaniels. I still have it, Don Morocco. All the Maggot fans out there thought that I lost a belt. I lost one fight in a war. That's all I've lost. Wahoo McDaniels, I've got you in some upcoming matches, and I can't wait. With this new rule, I hope that rule's in effect the first time I meet you, because I'm sick and tired of wrestlers running out of my matches, getting themselves disqualified to save themselves from defeat. I don't hide behind any rules, and I'm damn glad that we got something around here, because now when I beat somebody, it's to a finish. I don't have to come out here and make any excuses. I don't make any excuses. There will be no excuses. Wahoo McDaniels, Don Morocco, Jack Briscoe, Boogie Woogie Man, Jake Roberts, all of you be ready, because I'm going all out now.
Sergeant Slaughter, fans will be back. We'll have more action right after.
So there we hear from a slightly dejected Sergeant Slaughter. Feelings caught up in him a little bit, at least when it came to Sandy Scott, talking about presenting Jack Briscoe the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Championship that Roddy Piper tried to run out with that night. Gave that to him, but no mention made of Sergeant Slaughter's brand new United States Heavyweight Championship belt. Brandy new. The Nikita Malkovich style that actually had the had the United States on it. Well, that one has now exited stage left, and we have moved on to what is noted as the Southern style of the belt. And if those of you out there who have read Dick Bourne's United States Championship book that goes through the lineage and the looks of all of the championships, Dick asked Dave Milliken about the belt and about Reggie Parks, who created the titles, the characterization that the belt was known as the Southern style. And Dave said that Reggie would be all for it and would agree with that, as the Southern promotions, especially Eddie Graham down in Florida, really liked the look of this championship. And I gotta be honest, Roman, this was not one of my favorite championship looks. Although I will say this, initially the United States Championship had red, white, and blue paint on it, which certainly increased the look and the panache of the belt in my eyes. Unfortunately, that paint faded very quickly, and the belt just, to me, it just was not a favorite of mine.
It looks regional.
Yeah.
It really does look like something for a small territory. And growing up, and, you know, you look back now, like the United States heavyweight title, that is a prestigious belt. You know, that's like one of the number one contendership titles to have. So that one just, it didn't look like the prestige that you would think that a United States heavyweight championship belt would look like. And I was more in favor of the one that, you know, Magnum and Tully feuded over, the all silver one, I thought looked a little bit better. But yeah, this one definitely looks like a smaller regional title. And Mike, I wanted to ask you something on the Slaughter interview. Were you kind of surprised his take on the no DQ, there must be a winner type rule? I thought he would be upset about it because he's a champion, but he seemed to be in favor of it. And that got me kind of caught off guard considering that he is a heel.
I thought it was a very heel thing to do, especially because he's been blamed so much for taking advantage of this, the same way that Ivan Koloff and Roddy Piper, I guess, have been accused of trying to dodge for time and trying to back off and backpedal to burn some time off the clock. You have Sergeant Slaughter with his privates out there constantly in the mix and constantly causing problems. So I looked at it as a very heel thing to do where, of course, thankfully, we don't have Don Morocco running in to save Wahoo anymore or anything like that. And I thought it was a way for Sergeant Slaughter to just basically be a slimy heel that would probably have to earn some comeuppance later on. That's how I took that one.
Fair enough.
Our next match, Killer Khan and Vinny Valentino. And Killer Khan, obviously, with he and Mosca dropping their semifinal match to the Briscoe brothers, will be on his way out and back to the WWF or wherever it was that Killer Khan was roaming very soon, but still would hold on for a couple weeks here, went off and faced Vinny Valentino. And once again, while this match didn't go on for very long, it did certainly serve as a backdrop for everyone to kind of talk about what was taking place.
Sandy, you started to say something just before we had a cutaway just a moment ago. You started to say something about our 30-day ruling.
Yes, Bob. The fans, they have written their letters and their cards in complaining about some of these guys that are champions getting disqualified on purpose to save their titles. WWE has ruled for 30 days. Now there'll be no disqualification. There must be a winner in a match. There must be a loser. So what we'd like to do when we come into their arenas, for the fans to sit down and write us a card or a letter and tell us if they like this new ruling or not.
Hey, that's right. Fans, be sure you do that. That's going to be very important. Look at Khan with Valentino back in.
Yeah, fans, be sure you do that. It's very, very important. It's almost as important as who contributed the most to 1981, which they didn't mention here, but it's all I can think of now when they say send in your cards and your letters. But Killer Khan, knee drop, 3 minutes, 3 seconds. Yeah, what'd you think?
Well, I was just going to ask you, Mike, did you use that as an excuse to write them and ask them about the Who Contributed the Most contest? Great opportunity for you.
I'm still waiting for my bumper sticker from Big Bill Ward. I'm sorry, I already sent off my self-addressed stamped envelope to Briarbend Drive. I'm still waiting on that to come back. I know I'm not going to get any satisfaction out of the Who Contributed the Most in 1981. And besides, I picked Terry Taylor, so my vote doesn't count anyway. Kelly Kaninsky and Mike Davis were out to do interviews for all of us. Kaninsky is not exactly Mr. Excitement when it comes to these interviews. Now, Mike Davis made a good accounting for himself and was obviously not scared of the camera or the microphone. And, you know, he had not had much time in, but you can see why over these next couple of years, not only in the Mid-Atlantic, but down in Florida as well as elsewhere, that they were trying to figure out some ways to get Mike Davis into the mix, because you could see where he was certainly a step up from your Tony Zanes, your Jim Daltons, those people of the world, but they weren't exactly sure what they had with him yet. It was then on to Tony Russo against a pre-Iceman King Parsons for the next match, and this went about 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Tony Russo, it felt a lot longer than that. Tony Russo a couple weeks ago looked really good. I think it was against Horner at getting him over.
Horner.
Making him look good. Yeah, it did a very good job that way. Just a complete clash with King Parsons. 3 minutes, 30 seconds. Parsons wins with a headbutt. But just no bueno here, Roman.
No, and Mike, if I could just talk real quick about the Davis and Kaniski interviews.
Sure.
Davis did sound 1,000 times better than Kaniski in those interviews, and I have one beef to pick with Kaniski. How dare he say that his father was Canada's greatest athlete? Has he not seen Iron Mike Sharp wrestle? Come on!
Well,
it was weird to see Iceman come out and not dance, not have the cornrows. The match was just terrible. He threw a punch to Russo's stomach that looked weak, and Russo jumped into the air and landed on his stomach, and it just looked so bad, and you can actually hear the fans laughing after it happened. And then he throws a left-handed punch that completely missed Russo, and you can hear someone in the crowd groan, "Oh, come on!" When you have a match like that, it's amazing it even made it to air. And with these two, I mean, what a disappointing match. And you said it went 3:32, and it felt longer just because it was so bad. And a point in there that Crockett almost sounded like he was making an excuse for Parsons by saying that he was nervous because it was his first time in the area. I don't think it was nerves. That was just those two did not click together.
Well, I mean, I'll say that he did look nervous, but he also didn't look smooth, and he didn't get much help from Russo as far as that end goes, too. Just a complete clash. And soon we would have Parsons teaming up with Porkchop Cash, and they'd be in the Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Championship picture. But, yeah, certainly not a good start for Parsons here against Tony Russo. Go from Parsons and Russo into some promos, and doesn't start off too good, but doesn't end too bad. Angelo Mosca, Roddy Piper, and The Rock, Ole Anderson.
Fans at ringside right now, King Kong Mosca. Mosca, got to ask you about this. For 30 days, no disqualification, no countouts. Is that going to affect you in the ring?
Right down my alley. You'll never see King Kong Mosca get disqualified. King Kong Mosca told the people that he was here to win matches, win them in any circumstances. Me get disqualified when you're 6'5", you walk and you talk and you do exactly what you want to do. Winning is the name of the game. King Kong Mosca never, never gets disqualified.
All right, and here, hey, I've all, hey.
Always, yeah, the all the talking.
Always the
you
cool
You can sit
man.
There and shut your mouth for a change, because I'm sick and tired of all of it. That's where he belongs, right there, in a stinking trash can. You see, mister, you say you beat me with the figure four. Well, let me tell you something, man. I've done some studying. I know the counter to the figure four, Mr. Jack Briscoe. You're nothing but a cheap shot artist. You're nothing but a garbage can Indian, a garbage can champion. You think you can beat me, mister? I'll butt my cigar in your face just for kicks, Jack Briscoe. I'll stand here and say what I want to you. I'll say what I want to you. Get your hands away from me. To anything I want you, to, mister, because you'll find something
where,
out.
Just
shut up. You shut up when I'm talking. You shut up when I mean it. I'll tell you something, mister. You don't throw rocks at a guy who's got a machine gun, Briscoe. You step in my way, and I'm going to kill you.
Ooh, Ole Anderson. Ole. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy like that. A guy as upset as that.
No question that he's upset, and I think the people that ought to be worried are the guys like Briscoe and this Roberts. All of the guys that are walking around now talking about how happy about these new rules they are. Well, there's going to have to be a winner, going to have to be a loser. I want everybody to understand that. Just like Slaughter said, it's about time. Briscoe, you're not going to like it. Morocco, you're not going to like it. And that Indian, I know he's not going to like it, because that's the way they got out of a lot of matches. Well, right now we're going to be looking at winners. You're looking at a winner right now.
Roman, Roddy Piper still seems a little upset.
Yeah, very, very fired up. Roddy Piper telling Bob Caudle to shut up. And I don't know how often he used the phrase, but this is the earliest I can go back to hearing him say, "You don't throw rocks at a man with a machine gun." And just what a classic line. And yeah, Piper was on the warpath. There's no doubt about that.
Going to kill a man. So this is now we've got another death threat in Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling. Ivan and Roddy, man, no wonder why they jumped on Tim. Thank God they didn't kill Tim Horner at the very beginning of the show when both of them were jumping on his head. After that situation, closing with Ole Anderson, just you have the threats of homicide taking place, and then in comes Ole, just, you know, kind of shrugs like, you know, I'm surprised Ole didn't say, you know, it was too early to have this phrase coined, but I could see Ole walking in going, If he dies, he dies. I could see that happening there, but Ole kind of putting the period on the sentence there. Angelo Mosca was also part of that interview segment, and it was time for his match. Jumped into the ring and faced off against the aforementioned Kelly Kanisky as they battled for Canadian superiority. Paul Jones joined Bob and Sandy on commentary to give the good guy perspective on the new no disqualification and no time limit rule. Match went about 7 minutes. Kelly Kanisky was working Mosca over in the corner. The referee was pushing him away, got him off Mosca. Kanisky pushed the ref to the side to go back in, put some more work in, and that's when Mosca hit him with an elbow in the chin, put him on his back, got the pinfall, and that was that.
There was one spot in here, Mike, that it made no sense to me, that where Kanisky barely touched Mosca's ankle, and Mosca got knocked off his feet and onto the canvas. And to me, if you're going to go by the moniker of King Kong, you outweigh your opponent by, 130 pounds or whatever it is. It came off very weak that he would get knocked off his feet by a guy that barely touched his ankle. And if you go back and watch it, I had to rewind it a couple times. I'm like, that knocked him off of his feet? I don't know. I just thought that was very bizarre.
Even King Kong had an Achilles, I guess. So a slight misstep, literally, for King Kong Mosca there. And during the match, we do get Paul Jones giving us an update on the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, who suffered a blinding at the hands of the Ninja with the green mist. We get a little bit of an update on Jimmy Valiant's condition, as we have not seen him on Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling in a couple of weeks.
You're pretty good friends with Jimmy Valiant. How's Jimmy Valiant feeling about the Koloff situation?
Gee, Sandy, I tell you one thing. I myself and a lot of fans were concerned about Valiant and his eye and everything. And I tell you, it's come a long ways. I've traveled with the man, and he's taking the patch off now. And the doctors released him. And I tell you, he's doing great.
There we are from number one, talking about Jimmy Valiant's condition, and probably won't be too long before we get a chance to see him again. We then got another break for what was very likely interviews played about the Mid-Atlantic events coming to your town. But instead, we get Steve Seibert and a man who knows that he can't give any more than 100%, Mr. Jim Dalton.
Fans at ringside right now, Steve Seibert, Jim Dalton. Jim, I tell you, Let me tell you something right now.
I'm a little out of breath right now. I just got done back there doing 1,000 push-ups, done 500 set-ups and everything, and I'm in shape. Sometimes you make a mistake. I made a mistake. I underestimated that little man right up there. See what I mean? But there's something that I'm really thrilled about, a new ruling around here for 30 days. No disqualification, and you can't be counted out on the floor. Now, I know a lot of them out there is going to be disappointed, guys like this Wahoo McDaniels, this other nut, this Don Morocco, this Paul Jones, this Johnny Weaver, all of those kinds like that. They're going to be disappointed. They've won matches in the past by doing deliberate stuff like getting a disqualification, deliberately doing stuff. Then they've won matches like deliberately getting counted out. You see what I mean? So it's a big disappointment. Now, a lot of you people are going to have to be leaving. I'm sorry to say I'm not really thrilled about it, but I feel sorry for you. First of all, with this new ruling up here, brother, you're going to have to prove yourself. Guys like Sergeant Slaughter, the Privates, Ole Anderson, King Kong Mosca, Jim Dalton, all of us standing out here, we're going to be the only ones left, brother, when we get done clearing house with this new ruling. They played right in our hands with that stuff. You realize that?
I think Jim likes it. What about you, Steve?
I love it. That's the way I look it. Keep them in the ring. I don't know how I'm going to keep them in the ring because you can't be counted out. I'm going to have to go out there and throw them back in, I guess.
You mean you think this is going to work in your favor too then, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I'm just a little bit crazy too,
It can't get much wilder than it's been, Steve. No way, I tell you.
I love it.
It's wild. It's going to be rough, but you're going to have a lot of guys. A lot of guys are going to be after you because they know they're not going to get
this. I'm from Missouri, man. They're going to have to show me.
You're going to have to cave that man's head in to show him something, I tell you what. I'd be surprised how hard it is sometimes for people to show people stuff. They're going to have to cave that man's head in to show him something. He's from Missouri. He can take a mule kick. He can take anything that they can throw at him.
What about that, Steve?
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right, fans, I tell you, it's been wild. It looks like it's going to get even more so. And that's it right here ringside with Steve Seibert, Jim Dalton.
There we hear from Steve Seibert and Jim Dalton. And Roman, I want more Jim Dalton interviews. I don't know if I want more Steve Seibert interviews, but I got to say this. Him dropping the show me joke and having that go over both Bob and Jim's heads, or at least having them no-sell that line, I thought was very, very disappointing, especially because Jim kept using it against him, too. Like, you got to show this man something. He could take a mule kick. Like, I thought he was going to invite more on him. Like, you could hit this man with sledgehammers. Here, hit him. I got some sledgehammers right here. Beat on Steve Seibert. He loves it. That's how you show him something. But, yeah, Steve playing the background to Dalton right there, who, again, for another week of I want to hear more from Jim Dalton. I do. I want to hear more words of wisdom from Mr. 100%.
Well, I was just grateful that he was able to finish his workout, 1,000 push-ups and 500 sit-ups before he came out and did the interview. I thought that was nice of him to squeeze in some interview time in between push-ups and sit-ups.
20 years in the business. I'm glad he's still got that kind of dedication. It's amazing. He doesn't seem to look like he's got the kind of body for it, but maybe he's just got he internalizes all of this stuff. He's got an amazing core that we're not seeing somehow or something.
And speaking of looks, Seibert, he looked like he was in quarantine. Boy, did that guy need a haircut. Goodness gracious. But I guess a good chance for Seibert and Dalton to get out there and practice their promo skills.
So Seibert was the inspiration for Rick Harris's future role as Black Bart with the hair and the singlet and everything. They would have been an ugly, slow-moving, plotting, hairy, black-haired tag team, but they certainly would have fit the role as brothers if you wanted to do that. But it was on to our next match. The Privates, Kernoodle and Nelson, your Mid-Atlantic Tag Team Champions, although you would not know it here as if there were no belts and there was no mention of them as the champions, facing off against Jake the Snake Roberts and Johnny Weaver. And let's just not even beat around the bush here. This match was to set up the new rule and to see it in its execution, as the Privates knew that the clock was going to run out when they started to backpedal. And technical, as far as what the results were, it was a 10-minute draw. It didn't actually go that long. It was 8 minutes and 52 seconds, but they needed to leave enough time that we could have some promos at the end and we can have an explanation of what the situation was. But that's pretty much how it went down. The Privates were in trouble during the match, and they tried to backpedal and save themselves, having the time limit run out, which led to a lot of anger at the end and the announcement that we're going to see the match again. Roman, what did you think about how this whole thing kind of went down and played out? As I thought it was, while not the greatest ending in the world, it certainly made a whole lot of sense with what the tenor of the show was when it came to this new rule.
But yeah, like you alluded to, it was a great excuse to give them a chance to implement the rule, you know. And there was one part in the match where Jake came in, and it's kind of interesting. He basically did a DDT on Kernoodle, but he didn't hit him in the back as he drove him to the canvas. So it was kind of like a front face lock type thing, and Paul Jones called it a brain buster, but it was just kind of weird to see Jake do part of a DDT, so to speak. But, yeah, it was a good excuse to build up for something, and then towards the end, I'm sure you've got the soundbite ready. There's all kinds of chaos that happened.
Just wanted to swerve you, Roman. Of course I don't. But it was Paul Jones, Johnny Weaver, and Jake Roberts talking about the fact that they wanted – to see the Privates back in the ring next week to get their comeuppance, because, again, as Sandy Scott mentioned, no matches will end in a time limit. We must have a winner. We must have a determination. And it's just basically extra innings. And if they don't have enough time in the broadcast, fine. We'll go ahead. We'll call it. And we'll come back the next day, the next taping, the next time. And we'll do it all over again. And as we all know, this will not be forever. But it does certainly put a exclamation point on today's show, which certainly was loaded with situations taking place all over. A mention of Jimmy Valiant, his feud with the Ninja. We got to see Ivan Koloff, if only briefly, for a second. We have a tilt at the top of the Mid-Atlantic Championship picture. with Roddy Piper dropping the title to Jack Briscoe in a feud that is not going to end. We have Sergeant Slaughter heating up with Wahoo McDaniel, him being very upset that he dropped his match to Wahoo McDaniel with the help of Don Morocco fighting off the privates a couple weeks before on Worldwide. So we have that situation taking place. The NWA tag team situation is starting to settle up here with the announcement of the 7-match series between Ole Anderson and Stan Hansen. And Wahoo and Morocco. So just a ton that took place on this May 15th episode of Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, Roman.
Yeah, there was lots going on. And, you know, you can look forward. You automatically know that next week is going to be Jake and Weaver versus Carnoodle and Nelson. And something that really caught my eye, Mike, and it was something you brought up probably on our very, very first podcast, was the size of the studio. Now, you know it's a small studio, it's a TV studio, so you're not expecting, you know, Madison Square Garden or football stadium type capacity. But when they're brawling after the match, you see them go by the podium, and the podium is only like 6 feet away from the ring post. So the four guys were kind of brawling around and trying to like squeeze between the podium and the ring post, and it just kind of something that jumped out at me, like, man, this is a tiny TV studio.
Got a little bit of a bonus at the end here, and this comes from May 8th's WTBS Georgia Championship Wrestling show. This was a promo that was to hype up a match that would be taking place on Sunday, May 16th, the day after this Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling program aired. It would be an Omni show that would feature Dusty Rhodes and Tommy Rich against Mid-Atlantic's Ole Anderson and Roddy Piper. Here's Dusty Rhodes and Tommy Rich to talk about it.
I'd like to remind you, of course, that wrestling will be held in Huntington, West Virginia on the 29th and in Columbus, Ohio on Sunday the 30th. Those are great dates coming up, and, of course, the Omni coming up on the 16th.
You know, I told you the news just a while ago, the Omni on the 16th, that after all the different partners we both have had through the years, not one time has me and Tommy Rich ever been together. From this day on, be noted around worldwide, Tommy Rich and Dusty Rhodes are now a tag team from here on out, no matter what goes on. So matter what happens now, when somebody wants to jump me in the parking lot or somebody wants to whip him, they're going to have to whip us both. Right, Tommy?
That's exactly right. You put Rhodes and Rich together, and I'll tell you exactly what you got, Ole Anderson and Roddy Piper. You got rough and ready, baby. Anytime, any place, anywhere you want to do it. Atlanta, Georgia, in the Omni, Columbus, Ohio, it don't matter. Just like the Dream said. We sat down, we talked it out, and we've done it. We're together, come hell or high water, baby. You got to go through us both.
I like it. That's it. The fact of the matter is, in the Omni, Ole Anderson, Rodney Piper, head up, got to come head up two times. Both right here, Tommy Rich, Dusty Rhodes, both World Heavyweight Champion. Rodney Piper, every time we come out here, he takes his little tail, puts it on his head like a hat, and walks out of here. He don't want none of it. And they damn sure don't want none of it now. All in all, rough and ready. Rhodes and Rich in the Omni. Ole Anderson, it's going to be the deal is dealt for you and Piper, Jack.
All right. Amen. And Rick Flair.
There was Dusty Rhodes and Tommy Rich alongside Gordon Solie talking about Ole Anderson and Roddy Piper for the show at the Omni, and tons of tie-ins between Georgia and the Carolinas at this time. Kevin Sullivan has been tied up with both Piper and Sawyer as a babyface in Georgia, was winding up his time in Knoxville as the booker and the top bad guy at the time. Ray Stevens would be appearing in Georgia, although he was working mostly for Mid-Atlantic in this time period. Ric Flair, as the NWA World Champion, would of course be making appearances down in Georgia as well. And of course, there was Ole Anderson and Roddy Piper, and it would be Piper that would involve another recognizable Mid-Atlantic face on WTBS TV, as on today's episode, the May 15th episode of Georgia Championship Wrestling, for all the fans in Mid-Atlantic that had a chance to see Mid-Atlantic during the day, if they had cable TV at 6:05 p.m. on Saturday night, they flipped on their TV and not only saw the re-debuting Michael Hayes, they saw him facing off against Big Bill White. It's true.
White now, a hard right hand to the side of the head. And so Hayes in trouble at the moment.
White being like a beautiful machine right now. He just what I said. He's worn Hayes down. He's got Hayes hurt. Now look at the monotonous, complete attack. Whoa! Look at that White take punches, though. That White is fantastic.
It is Michael Hayes with an arm whip now. Catches White, a high, high back drop. As White in trouble, a lateral press White, once again.
You see, now that's a choke. That's a third time.
Oh, wait a minute now. Is Roddy Piper complaining about the choke? Ooh, and it's White catching Michael Hayes from behind. And Hayes suddenly exploding on Bill White. Roddy Piper was complaining about a choke. It did not appear to be a choke. And now it is Roddy Piper offering some sort of advice, if you will, to Bill White. And it is White moving back into the ring. And Hayes wasting no time opening up on Bill White. Caught him with a stampede. Had the stampede. And, well, it appeared that Roddy Piper was instrumental in that leg coming outside the ring. White now catches Michael Hayes again and again. And now Michael Hayes exploding on Bill White. And Roddy Piper walking around to that far side. They trip up. He's got his foot outside the ropes. And, well, wait just a minute.
Let me talk to Bill White. That was beautiful. That was sensational.
We've got a Bill White, the victor. Rhubarb erupting here.
Bill White, the victor. Hey,
hey, hey. Hey, hold
on. White, get some order here. That was beautiful, Bill White.
Wait just a minute, gentlemen. Hold him back, please.
You reminded him myself. You keep him back. That was a sensational win on his part. Get him back.
And Michael Hayes wanting to break loose at
Look at him angry because he knows how to lose, huh?
One Roddy Piper, and they're doing their best to hold him back. And the referee trying to establish some order here as Bill White got momentary recognition. But
that was sensational. You see, now there's an obvious
Michael
example
still
of a man that is a poor loser.
And away.
I want you to know something. He was sensational. You were out.
Absolutely,
all I'm winning.
Help me win that match.
You see, what it boils down to is you've got guys that talk like Hayes, big shot timers talk like Hayes, a perfect example, a perfect wrestling right here, Mr. Bill White. All of a sudden, free bird. He's a free bird, all right. He's free to do what he wants to. And tonight, he lost. And what a pleasure it was to watch you. You were magnificent. You reminded me so much of myself, different things you did in there. And I want you to know something. This is truly history in the making because the Free Bird is supposed to be one of the most sensational wrestlers around. The Free Bird is supposed to have on beaten everybody that's coming this way. But Bill White, a man comes here, doesn't know who Bill White is, doesn't appreciate how Bill White can wrestle. In other words, Hayes made an obvious mistake that you and I don't make. He underestimated you. And Mr. White, I would just like to say, it's a privilege to be here.
Well, thank you, Randy, and thanks for your help. And to point out the mistakes that he was making.
Oh, you see, that's just it, Mr. Soli. Mistakes, you see. The idea is not to be able to make any mistakes. The idea, Mr. Hayes, if you want to be a slow loser, I didn't do nothing but point out a couple of errors that the referee was making. Mr. Hayes was choking. Mr. Hayes was pulling the hair. Mr. Hayes was punching with the fist. So all as I did was want to make it fair and square down the line. And when you do make it, yeah, right, you are Hayes. When you do make it fair and square, you find out who wins and who suffers. There's a thin line, you see, and right
Mr.
here
Piper,
is the line.
I think we had better call a halt to this before things happen that really don't need to happen. This may have gone a bit too far. That's all the time we have for this hour on Georgia Championship Wrestling.
Okay, everybody, I apologize. That was really long, and I probably should have warned you about it. But you know what? When you have such a glorious moment in the history of professional wrestling, like the ascension of Big Bill White. And by the way, folks, you didn't really hear it in there, although you heard it in the expression all over Gordon Solie's voice there, as you could hear it in the inflection and his tone. Bill White defeated Michael Hayes, possibly with a little help of Rowdy Roddy Piper. But yeah, that happened as Michael Hayes returns back to WTBS TV, facing off against Bill White. And I don't know, maybe a couple weeks ago when Bill White cut the great promo when he was standing there with everybody, maybe that was the competition. Whoever cut the best promo was going to be chosen by Roddy Piper to go down to WTBS Studios and give a little business to Michael Hayes. But no matter what it was, great performance, great day for Big Bill White. Bad day for Michael Hayes, as it looks like Roddy Piper's got his next opponent down there in Georgia.
Boy, Piper put over Bill White like $1 million. I remember the first time I saw that, just the whole time on commentary, and it made you think when you're watching the match, like, okay, he would not be putting over an enhancement talent this much. There's something cooking, and yeah, definitely something was cooking as Piper had an influence of the outcome, and I was able to actually give Bill White a copy of that match years later, and he was grateful. That was his moment in the sun.
A beautiful machine. Piper called him a beautiful machine. He was very upset over the way that Michael Hayes, he is accusing Michael Hayes of choking Bill White, I believe, trying to wrap on a sleeper hold, I believe is what it was. But yeah, a high water mark in moments of Bill White, at least on a national scale. So that wraps up this week's edition of the program. Run through the results here in a moment. But anything else to kind of add about the show today, Roman, and kind of the direction that we're taking with Mid-Atlantic? Because as I mentioned a little bit earlier on, and we're going to see this in the next couple of weeks here, obviously Ole Anderson has got a little bit of a falling out with the Crockett Promotions and the NWA tag team situation, tag team title situation. Is going to truly be put on the back burner here. But knowing that there's going to be issues, they certainly have set everything up in a very interesting way here with some very live, high-profile singles feuds.
Yeah, there's a lot to look forward to in the Mid-Atlantic area. Lots of excitement. And, I mean, the way they started off the show, that was great. That was a great first 5 minutes or so. There was all kinds of action. And then you know, a new champion being crowned, Jack Briscoe becoming the Mid-Atlantic heavyweight champion, which led to an irate Roddy Piper. And there's lots of good things going on in the Mid-Atlantic area, and I'm looking forward to the weeks to come.
Here we go with results from around the loop. The show we just heard was, of course, taped on Wednesday, May 12th. So we pick up on Thursday, May 13th, Sumter, South Carolina. Roddy Piper faced off against Don Morocco. Also that night in Saluda, Virginia, Middlesex County High School, Paul Jones and Terry Taylor faced off against the Privates, and Jake Roberts faced Sergeant Slaughter. The next night in Cincinnati, Ohio at the Gardens, Bob Armstrong defeated Roddy Piper by countout in a match that featured two referees, and Jimmy Valiant and Leroy Brown defeated Ivan Koloff and the Ninja. That night in Hampton at the Coliseum, Sergeant Slaughter and Angelo Mosca defeated Paul Jones and Jake Roberts. The next night on the 15th in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Jack Briscoe defeated Angelo Mosca, and Mosca won a 12-man battle royal. Also on the 15th in Wilmington, North Carolina, we don't have results for these matches, but Roddy Piper faced off against Leroy Brown, Gene Anderson faced Paul Jones, and Ivan Koloff and the Ninja defeated Jimmy Valiant and Jake Roberts. On the 16th in Asheville, North Carolina, Wahoo McDaniel defeated Roddy Piper, and Jack Briscoe and Don Morocco defeated Gene Anderson and Ole Anderson. Also that night in Toronto at Maple Leaf Gardens, Sergeant Slaughter defeated Jake Roberts by disqualification, and Angelo Mosca and Jake Roberts, who was subbing for Black Jack Mulligan Jr., who was already back in Florida, defeated Nick Bockwinkel and Big John Studd. As we mentioned earlier on, also on the 16th at the Omni, Dusty Rhodes and Tommy Rich defeated Ole Anderson and Roddy Piper on a show that was main evented by NWA World Champion Ric Flair defeating Leroy Brown. And oh yeah, Bill White got another appearance, losing to Ted DiBiase in the opener. The next day on the 17th in Guelph, Ontario, we had the TV tapings for Maple Leaf Wrestling. Tim Horner was on the show and got beat a lot. One of the matches that he lost was to the Destroyer, Dick Byer. One of the bigger matches on the lineup card featured Angelo Mosca defeating Big John Studd by countout. Also on the 17th in Greenville, South Carolina, Don Morocco and Jake Roberts defeated Gene Anderson and Ole Anderson, and Jimmy Valiant and Paul Jones defeated Ivan Koloff and the Ninja. On May 18th in Oshawa, Ontario, at the Civic Auditorium, Angelo Mosca defeated John Studd by countout, and the Privates defeated Johnny Weaver and Billy Red Lions. Also on the 18th in Raleigh at the Civic Center, Don Morocco defeated Sergeant Slaughter and Wahoo McDaniel defeated Roddy Piper. In Columbia on the same night at the Township Auditorium, Jack Briscoe and Jimmy Valiant defeated the Ninja and Ivan Koloff, and Killer Khan defeated Paul Jones. The next night on the 19th, Niagara Falls, Ontario, Big John Studd defeated Johnny Weaver, and Angelo Mosca and Tony Parisi defeated the Privates. Also on the 19th, of course, back at WPCQ Studios, Charlotte, North Carolina, and I won't spoil you on the results of the tapings for Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling and Worldwide Wrestling, but I will go over to WWE.com, over to the WWE Network section, and let you know what their preview is for our next edition. Mike Rotundo looks to prove himself by taking to the ring to go one-on-one with NWA United States Champion Sergeant Slaughter in the main event. Roddy Piper seizes an opportunity to make an example out of Jerry Briscoe. All this and much more. Don't worry, everybody. There was much more. Once again, as I mentioned earlier on, if you like this show and want more things related to it, you can find them via all of our social media. We have all of it, but we update Twitter and Facebook the most. Just search Mid-Atlantic Pod and look for the logo. Please support all of the shows here in the extended 605 family of podcasts. We don't condescend, and we are dedicated to preserving and accurately archiving wrestling history. And I'm happy that this podcast, executive produced by me for the Arcadian Vanguard Podcast Network, can be a part of that. For Roman Gomez, I'm Mike Sempervivi. Take us out of here, Uncle Bob.
And that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.